It's hour number two of Shirts and Skins After Dark, 1:45. Where are we at in society? Dodge is trying something interesting with their electric cars in the near future. Their electric muscle cars, to be a little more specific. At Flex 30, we replay part of the afternoon show Ball Don't Lies chat with new Westlake coach Tony Salazar. In a mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Paul Wadlington of Inside Texas on 3.com, the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast, and Thinking Texas Football. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two on a Thursday. Busy football Thursday. Not just 16 days till September 3rd and Texas's first game. Not just Horn Top 20, number 7 team, Baylor, defending Big 12 champs and how good we think they could be, but some massive stories around college football. The Big Ten TV deal has now been announced. 7 years, $7 billion for that one. And we know those three networks. Yep, it's the one they talked about. It's Fox, it's CBS, and NBC. So years from now, when you say the CBS 230 game, you're going to be talking about a Big Ten game, not an SEC game. So that's out there. Also, the CFP committee, slightly different committee. This is the president committee that represents these 10 conferences and Notre Dame.
How many different committees do we have at the college football playoff?
I didn't even realize this was a thing. It's the board of managers. It says they don't meet nearly as frequently as the management committee, which is what we've been talking about. But the board of managers is these presidents. They got together this week to talk about what may happen and a new system they might try to put in place where the NCAA isn't running the show, where the CFP is running the show. And the important date to remember there is the 2025 season, Trey, because that's how long their agreement goes. So right now, they control the postseason of college football because the NCAA doesn't control it, because the NCAA has never controlled it. It was the CFP right now, and before that, it was dudes in bright blazers. So they have to maybe strike while the iron's hot here, set up a new system, and then moving forward, they can say to the NCAA, why don't y'all calm down? Don't worry about enforcing, you know, NIL rules with football players. We'll deal with that part. Let's separate football. You guys then even out your scholarships. Boy, I hope they do this. For college, you know, maybe we can finally get to that discussion where football can truly be thought of separately, so then all your Title IX stuff can even out differently and you can really go about it the right way.
That's a great point. I hadn't considered it like that.
That's one of those things Kevin Dunn has thrown out for years and years and years, our former colleague and great friend of ours, and I think he's right about it, because that math just doesn't work when you've got 85 scholarships in this one sport and the women's sports do not have anything comparable to that.
I'll tell you what, if they make that separation, we're going to see a lot of crew teams going away.
You may see that. Yeah, that may be a part of that too.
Sorry, Laughlin.
So we will pay attention to to that story. It's a good reference there. And Deshaun Watson, 11-game suspension and $5 million on the fine. That was announced today also.
Yeah, you know, it's always felt like the CFP has the inside track on becoming that next governing body, because you really didn't know where they were going to turn otherwise. So to see these presidents get together and at least start the conversation, I think could end up going a long ways in the CFP just ultimately taking over the NCAA's duties, and that is setting and enforcing the rules and actually having a little bit of respect in the process, because the NCAA is completely devoid of respect. You have no authority when you completely lack respect. My kids teach me that lesson each and every day. Paul's kid teaches them that lesson from time to time. Let's go to the Vaqueros Hotline now and welcome our friend Paul Wadlington to the show. Of course, he is with Inside Texas on 3.com, the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast, and his Thinking Texas Football Prospectus is out now. Breaks down every player on the Longhorns roster, every opponent as well. It is the best. If you are a Longhorn fan, a fan of the Big 12, or just a fan of college football or great writing, and now we talk to Paul. What's up, Paul? How you doing today?
What's going on? I found out the Big Ten just signed a deal rivaling you and Chad's contract.
That's right. Exactly.
I wish. Maybe the NBC portion of that contract, Paul.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, well, and yeah, the great news there, Paul, you know, for just like it's theoretically great news for the 16 teams that are going to be in that new SEC, now the 16 members of this new Big Ten know they are going to get a chunk of money. Do you think this is going to hold at 16 teams, though, for the Big Ten, or do you think they might be looking for more because they did leave in a little space for expansion today?
So that's a great point, Chad. My initial read of the contract suggested it wasn't. There was no space. So there is something saying that they're able to add a Notre Dame or a Washington or something like that?
Yeah, I think the idea would be that, yeah, Notre Dame and then maybe it's three other teams, Oregon, Washington, Stanford, I've heard them mentioned too. Apparently there is a little wiggle room there. Either way, I think Notre Dame and Jack Swarbrick are going to be really happy over the next 10, 20 years.
Yeah, they're going to be the bell of the ball. There's no doubt. You don't think the Notre Dame is going to join the SEC, Chad?
No, I do not. I do not. I'm gonna. What's the phrase for that? Doesn't feel like a natural fit to me, Paul. Sometimes feel like a natural fit.
People who sift their brandy don't necessarily congregate with people who mainline Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I thought you were going for a moonshine reference there, but yes, absolutely.
Well, we already got that with the Big 12 with West Virginia.
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah. That is true. All right, Paul, so obviously the seriousness of things for the Longhorns this week is about injuries and what you do about them. Offensive line and wide receiver with two season-ending ACLs. So let me start with the blocking part of it. What do you make of the Angelau injury, and then what happens because of it? What are you hearing, or what are you guys at Inside Texas hearing about how they're dealing with it?
Well, I mean, Angelau is a big loss in terms of experience. He started 34 games at Texas. You know, they were also looking at an experiment, which I think, you know, was talked about and certainly covered on the boards. I'm sure you guys talked about it, of, you know, trying to move, try out Angelau at center, right, to try to get some more size there and create more of an inside zone running scheme and not allow push from big nose tackles, because sometimes Jake Majors struggled with those guys a little bit, particularly in pass protection. So that, obviously, that experiment has been kiboshed. And then, obviously, you're losing your most experienced offensive lineman, right? That's not a good thing. If, you know, I don't want to say there's an upside to an injury to a guy who's a great Longhorn, but, you know, I would say that Angelau did sort of hit his ceiling at Texas. And, you know, maybe some of these freshmen, if you get them integrated in earlier, you're going to have an opportunity to have an offensive line that's that much better by the end of the year or certainly next year.
Paul, the Nayor injury may have been the bigger one, just based on the reports coming out of the casual 7-on-7 stuff, of course, spring ball, and just the rapport that he had apparently established with the quarterbacks, especially Quinn Ewers. And you hate to think too pessimistically in the season of optimism, even when it comes to injuries, because you want to have that next man up mentality. But I'm not going to lie, losing those two guys was a pretty big gut punch when I found out that news last weekend. I mean, it dropped my projected win total for them down by a full win. Did it do something similar for you as well?
It did. God, it's so terrible because I had just been talking with a friend about, you know, who are the five Longhorns we can't lose. And Worthy and Nayor were two of those guys in the top five. And, you know, God, as awful as this sounds, you could make an argument that Bijan Robinson is more dispensable than Nayor, not because he's not a better player, but because of what he means and the amount of depth that you have in the running back room.
Yep.
So it's a horrible thing all around, and it's really terrible because it really puts the kibosh on what Steve Sarkisian wanted to do in terms of stressing a defense from 12 personnel. That's one running back, two tight ends, two receivers. When you have Nayor and Worthy on the field, you still have to play two safeties deep, guys. You cannot put one of your guys in pure single coverage with Worthy or Nayor. And if you do that and you're running sort of an honest box with Bijan Robinson and two tight ends, you've got eight gaps across the front that you have to defend. It's just a math game. And you can run really deadly RPOs. You can just run base running games. And all Bijan has to do is make a guy miss, and you've got a 40, 50-yard run. And that is gone. You know, that's gone. That threat is gone. So what you have to do is what they did with the Oakland A's with Moneyball back in the 1990s. You have to replace a great player, not singularly. There is no one-to-one replacement for Nayor in the Longhorn roster. You have to replace him in the aggregate, meaning Texas is going to have to experiment with some new looks, some new options, and find ways to replace Nayor, not just as a single play touchdown deep threat, but how can we find guys horizontally? How can we use more of Jatavion Sanders? How can we use more of Tariq Milton? How can we get the best out of Casey Kane and the young freshman Brendan Thompson? What can we do to speed their development? And oddly, people think, well, we're down a very good receiver, our second best receiver. We need to play 12. No. You probably need to play more receivers now because you need to get more guys out there creating space for Xavier Worthy.
That's an interesting point, Paul. I've been thinking about this too, about, you know, yeah, do you get a little more constricted with it, or do you try to get even more modular and move things around? It feels like Steve Sarkisian is trying to move some stuff around. You mentioned Tariq Milton. There's been talk of, you know, him working out at slot a little bit. Jordan Whittington, is that a guy you could move around a little bit? Talk to me about Milton and how you think he could fit in. We were talking yesterday about how he's kind of gone from a luxury to a, oh, you need him to play well.
Yeah, luxury to necessity, there's no question, particularly in the light of the suspension of Hall.
So, yeah, right.
You know, that was a predictable thing, right? I mean, I'm glad the coaches, not to be too harsh here.
But wow.
He got the boot from Alabama, and he got rebooted in Austin.
Yeah, there it is.
Now, you've tried to take a boot off of your car in West Campus before, right, Paul?
I have never tried to take a boot off a car, but you know what's amazing is you could be guilty of the worst offense as a human being, and the minute you are being persecuted by UTPD, you immediately have the sympathy of every Texas student. I mean, you could have been fleeing an armed robbery, and they're like, "Well, but it is UTPD."
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
You can have 20 kilos of coke in your trunk, and people will still feel bad for you if they're UT alums.
Like, UTPD framed him. They did that to my roommate at Castilian back in '97.
That rep has only gone down since the segues were implemented, too.
There's no question about that. And yeah, they really. Tariq Milton really needs to stay healthy. You know, obviously Tariq Milton, you know, he had most of his college production as a freshman and a sophomore at Iowa State. And then he's just been bitten by the injury bug. So if they can have a healthy Tariq Milton, that's a huge deal. Even if he's lost some explosiveness and speed, which I think he has, he's extremely reliable. And he's a very mature guy. He knows what to do. And, you know, Sark is going to earn his paycheck. You know, Nayor going down, he's going to have to scramble and do some things, but he's good at finding space. And if you look back at some of that classic Alabama offense he had that was so good with Devonta Smith, Waddle, et cetera, there was no classic X. You know, there was no guy who was 6'3", 225, lined up on the sideline, taking the top off the defense. Now, those guys were all real, real good. Let me be clear about that. But he found ways to move them around and actually played Devonta Smith at the X, technically, right? The 170-pound receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He just moved him around so much and schemed it up so much that he made it work. The other component of that, of course, was he had Mac Jones. And Mac Jones, he could count on to do instant recognition, instant reads, get the ball out quickly. And Texas probably doesn't have that luxury at the quarterback position. So Texas still has plenty of weapons on offense, but boy, Nayor really, really hurts. I mean, he's an NFL receiver, guys. And then that additional threat with Worthy just put stresses on a defense that it was just damned if you do, damned if you don't. And if you really wanted to overcompensate the vertical threat of Nayor and Worthy, Bijan Robinson's going to kill you underneath, whether in the passing game or just running the ball.
Paul, are you surprised that neither quarterback has really stood out enough to be named the starter up to this point? Both guys have apparently had moments, but both have had plenty of issues at times as well, including having a difficult time taking care of the football.
No, I'm not surprised. Unfortunately, I mean, the fact is Quinn Ewers hasn't played a down of college football. And, you know, Hudson Card played last year. He's still not, you know, this rugged, experienced guy. He's not like a fourth-year player or fifth-year player. He's appeared in about, what, three games total as a Longhorn. And some of those starts have been good, and some of those starts have been not so good. So I'm not surprised that they're struggling a little bit. And then, you know, beyond just the experience, there's the fact that Sark puts some things on the quarterback. You know, he wants you to be able to recognize some things. He wants you to be able to make some calls and make adjustments. And those guys need to demonstrate that they're able to do that. So, yeah, there have been some uneven practices. There's sort of, I guess, a bootleg practice video goes circulating from the open practice, and I had a chance to watch it, and people are drawing way too many conclusions off of it because Sark kept it real vanilla. But yeah, I mean, neither guy distinguished himself. Anyone pointing to, oh, Ewers is obviously the guy or Card is obviously the guy, I think they're seeing something that I'm not seeing.
All right, Paul, let's talk about the two sides of your brain, the media side and the fan side. From the media side and what you've been able to learn about practice, give me something that the fan side of your brain is excited about for 2022. A player,
oh.
A player, a group you're hearing about. What has got you excited for 22 right now?
What's got me excited is, as I sort of predicted in my preseason preview, shameless plug.
Nice.
The 2021 thing. 2022. 2021, I nail every prediction, just so you know, guys. I wrote it after the season.
I thought you were crazy to say 5-7, Paul, but I thought you were right on.
Oh, and I nailed it. I even talked about the pick six in the fourth quarter against Oklahoma State. Amazing. Yeah, no, the 2022 Texas football preview. You guys can buy it at Amazon, Smashwords, or Apple. I said that Byron Murphy has to start because he is probably going to be, as he develops, particularly the most talented guy on the defense. Well, Byron Murphy is the best guy on the defense, and no one can block him. I'm very excited. The fan side of me is excited about that. The analyst side of me is less excited when I realize that Pete Kwiatkowski prefers to play his interior defensive lineman in sort of catch and grab mode and occupy blockers.
Mm.
And Byron Murphy does his best work as a penetrator. He is, he's dare I bring it up, but he's a poor man's Aaron Donald. He needs to get up the field. He needs to use his quickness. He needs to use that compact frame to get up the field in small spaces and make himself a problem. Unfortunately, Kwiatkowski's scheme is predicated on the defensive linemen occupying blockers and trying to set up linebackers and safeties.
Talking with Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex, Inside Texas, On3.com, and he told you the Thinking Texas Football Preview. It is out there for you for 2022, digital copy, hard copy. Also, the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast out there as well.
And that does include, as I mentioned at the start of this conversation, a breakdown of every single one of the Longhorns' opponents. Paul, we're talking about the Baylor Bears today. They're the number 7 team in the Horns College Football Top 20. What is your prognostication with regards to what Baylor is going to do this upcoming season?
Wow, Baylor is a complete dark horse. And I got to tell you, the media that are counting up returning starters and seeing that Baylor has, 13 or whatever it is, depending on how you count it, and they're just penciling them in. They're saying, well, they won the Big 12. They have as many returning starters as anyone. I guess I'll just pencil them in to win it again. You need to look at the 9 starters they lost.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally if you rank their 10 best players from last year, they lost 9 of the 10. So the idea that Baylor is just going to reload, man, if they do, hats off to Dave Aranda. He did an amazing coaching job last year, as did Jeff Grimes, the offensive coordinator. Completely salvaged a moribund offense and made it very functional, including a great running game, running that outside zone scheme. Baylor lost a lot. I mean, they lost the heart of that defense in the secondary, at linebacker. They do return their front, which is good. Their front is awesome. Just like Oklahoma State, it's the best defensive front in the conference. But boy, did they lose a lot of serious, serious playmakers in their secondary and at linebacker. And then on offense, they lost their entire receiving core. Tyquan Thornton went in the second round, I believe, to the Patriots.
Yep.
And that guy's like a 4.28 40 guy. He was their entire deep game. And I love Shapen at quarterback, but they have no one to throw to. I mean, quite literally, they don't have an experienced receiver. The most experienced receiver they have is a guy who missed all of last year with an ACL, and he was kind of a possession receiver who caught 30 balls the year before. So that's their receiving core. They have a very good tight end. Expect that guy to catch about 60 balls this year. So if you're drafting college fantasy football teams, go grab some Ben Sims right away. But Baylor has a great offensive line, a great defensive line. I like their quarterback, and yet I still am not very up on those guys. I'm not very optimistic about their season. I think they're going to have a fall off. I really do.
Baylor, as we talked about, at BYU September 10th. That'll start to answer some of those questions. Paul Wadlington's got all kinds of questions answered for you in that Thinking Texas Football preview. Grab that. If you have not, check out InsideTexas.com, On3.com, and the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast. And as we always tell you, Paul is sponsored. Trey will tell you a little bit about that in a second. Paul, we always appreciate the time. Hopefully by next week, we might even have a starting quarterback to talk about. Enjoy the week, man.
It's possible. Yeah, Baylor BYU asked some really deep questions. The winner of that game, we know the true religion and who has God's favor.
That is true. Dancing versus caffeine in that one. It's going to be good. Thanks, Paul.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, that is Paul Wadlington. Trey, tell him about it.
Yeah, Paul's weekly chat's brought to you by the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team. Austin's housing market is still sizzling and home values continue to rise, but interest rates have also gone up. That's why there's never been a more crucial time to contact Wadlington and Winslow. And speaking with Gabe and Paul, it is mind-blowing to learn about the deals they're still landing for their clients, both for new home purchases and cash-out refis. If you're a well-qualified buyer who is looking to secure a safe loan to buy a house or for some cash in pocket now, based on your home's skyrocketing value, it's high time you call Wadlington and Winslow at 832-557-1095. Trust me, you'll be glad you did. 832-557-1095. Or reach out at mortgagesbygabe.com. That's mortgagesbygabe.com for the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team.
Gabe Winslow Mortgage Broker, NMLS number 1613381. C2 Financial, NMLS number 135622.
All right, coming up in our Flex segment, the Westlake head coach visited with the afternoon show yesterday. You'll hear him talk a little bit about his team. Actually, a couple of former members of his team that are in the college at the college level now. Plus, a local product has the Major League debut you can only dream of. Well, we can only dream of it. He actually had it. We'll tell you about it on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
I do not quite have this one. You got anything?
No.
It's not. No. It's not Bonnie Raitt. It's Who is that? I think it's a cool, spooky white chick, though.
She's white.
She is white. Yeah. We don't know if she's cool or spooky. Okay, fair enough.
She seems cool.
Linda Ronstadt?
No. No. Well, she's definitely cool.
She is cool. You're right. She's cool and not really quite spooky. All right, who's this?
Kiki D.
Oh,
Kiki D band.
Kiki D.
Never heard of her.
The first British singer to sign with Motown Records.
Okay. And Kiki is the one I think that did the famous duet with Elton John back in the day. I want to say that's Elton's done a duet with. I said that like he did one duet, didn't I? You know that one duet Elton John did back in the day? Yeah, that one. I want to say that Elton and Kiki are the. I can't think of what it's called. Is it It Takes Two or. Something. I think there's a famous duet with those two.
Okay.
Kiki D and somebody. Maybe it's Elton John. Kiki D, Bad English, and Smashing Pumpkins. If you did not hear Trey going after the Smashing Pumpkins, you know what, Trey? I'm not even going to make a promo out of that. We're posting that. I'm just posting it in full. You, as Eric Cartman, trying to do Smashing Pumpkins. It was magical.
I wasn't trying to go Eric Cartman, but apparently my voice made it happen.
It was sweet.
All right.
Disarm you with a smile.
You remember the one where he had to sing the whole Styx song? Do you remember that episode?
No.
The song Sailing by Styx?
Oh,
or Sail
yeah.
Away. The Come Sail Away?
Come, yeah.
You couldn't start singing it unless, and then Cartman had to finish the whole song, so he was screaming it off in the background. It was so good.
There was a good one early in that show where he sang In the Ghetto.
In the Ghetto, yes.
In the ghetto, in the ghetto.
The Christmas stuff. Oh, it's wonderful. All right, and South Park's still rolling, I think, in season 89 or whatever they are now. All right, so thanks to Paul Wadlington for his time talking some Texas football. Let's get into a little high school football and high school sports because there was a huge story from a local product, and we talked to one of the big coaches in the area yesterday on the station. Here we go.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com.
FLXATX.com. Trey, have you seen this reaction video yet from the Lake Travis kids?
No.
This is pretty cool. I'll turn this around and show it to you. So if you go to FLXATX.com, Snoop put together a nice little page for this incredible moment that happened yesterday.
That's cool.
So we had this local product that folks in the baseball world have been following. His name is Brett Beatty. B-A-T-Y is that last name. Brett Beatty. Snoop and the Flex crew call him Brett the Met now because he just got called up to the Mets. Well, that's exciting enough, right? You can make a movie about that. His family finds out, wait, where's he going to play? In Atlanta. All right, we're there. Mom, sister, dad, I can't remember who else was in the group. They all show up. Brett starts at third base, so he just got called up, Trey. So to get called up is a story. Right, even if he didn't play right away, but they put him in like immediately. He's third baseman last night, and in his first at-bat as a major league player, the second pitch he saw, he put it into the seats.
That's really cool.
Second pitch, fans go crazy. I mean, the family goes crazy, and then if you go to FLXATX.com, you can watch his former teammates at Lake Travis reacting to it. They have a watch party, and you can just see the excitement on their faces. It was a hell of a swing, big lefty swing there from Brett Beatty. So dreams coming true for a Lake Travis player. I'll even mention it, even though I'm not the biggest Mets fan in the world, and I'm a Braves fan. I'm mentioning that shows you how much growth. By the way, Trey, can you imagine you get called up, you're a third baseman, you walk out there, you're throwing it around, and who's the pitcher on the mound? Max Scherzer. That's pretty badass.
Yes, it is.
That's damn cool. All right, something else that's damn cool if you're a Westlake fan is that they have won back-to-back-to-back state championships, and they are going for 4 in a row. Nobody's ever done that at that level. And Tony Salazar is trying to figure it out. Yesterday, the Ball Don't Lie crew talked to Coach Salazar, and they asked him about a lot of different things, including three of the players that were at Westlake that are now at Texas. Harge was on yesterday. Special guest co-host Chip Brown of Horns 24/7 is the other voice you're going to hear in this cut. But we'll start with Tony Salazar talking about Michael Taft, the famous safety from Westlake that is now a Longhorn. Here we go.
He's just a ball player, national ball player, but he puts the work in. I mean, he's going to know the game. He's going to be a step ahead before they ever snap the football. He's going to eliminate, you know, three quarters of the possible outcomes before the ball's ever snapped. And a lot of times he's in position to make plays as opposed to react to plays. And that's a big thing that we teach our kids here at Westlake is we play to make plays. We don't play, you know, to not get beat. We play to win, all in the same. And that's our mentality. And I think Michael Taft is – probably the best example of that. That kid is just a big-time game, big-time player. When the lights are the brightest, you know, he plays the best, but he's always consistent. Effort's always there. Connor Robinson, you mentioned that name. What a tremendous warrior that kid was for his last 2 years here at Westlake. There's a couple great ones from the sidelines there wearing burnt orange now.
Yeah. Yeah, and Ethan Burke, he's long. He's like, is he 6'7"?
Yeah, yeah, he is. He's a man amongst boys, you know, in high school, and obviously now he surrounds himself with others that are his size. And so, but yeah, he still had room to grow. You know, he kind of lost half a year there with a shoulder injury, beginning of his junior year. Otherwise, I think he would have been household name, you know, pretty much his entire senior year. But so much talent, heady football player. I've seen him, you know, have JV game one time. I think he scored like 3 touchdowns on sacks. Recovered fumbles, interceptions, return for scores. It was like things you've never heard of from a defensive lineman. So, yeah, I'm rooting for those guys. Those are our kids. We're all family, and I wish them nothing but the best.
If you want to hear the entire interview, go to hornfm.com. Tony Salazar on with the afternoon show yesterday. Trey, I don't care what level it is. If a defensive end has 3 touchdowns in one game, that's crazy. A fumble recovery, you tip a ball to yourself 3 times off sacks.
Yeah, I mean, that is talented, but it's also a little bit fluky, too.
That is goofy, man. Causing that much havoc is awesome. That's what you want. But
right.
The idea that you'd end up with touchdowns off of it is crazy. So if you're a Longhorn fan and you want a little local flair, we'll keep our eyes on those situations. Heck, Connor Robertson might be called on faster than you thought if this offensive line stuff keeps going. He's obviously at the O-line. Michael Taft, the safety. Ethan Burke on the defensive end. In fact, I heard Chip mention yesterday and getting to watch some practice that I think it may be in the open practice that Taft picked off Quinn Ewers again, because when they matched each other in the state championship game, Taft had a famous moment.
Mm.
So apparently Taft knows how to read Ewers very well.
I know it's one good thing is another bad thing for your team whenever
yeah, right.
you're talking about scrimmages. I would rather Taft not picking Ewers off.
Yes, right. Yeah, that's what you want.
Because Ewers is making plays, not because Taft is dropping the ball.
So real quick before we hit the break here, again, we do the Flex segment every day at 1:30. Did you happen to catch this Kelvin Banks story, a couple Kelvin Banks stories that are coming out about his leadership?
No.
So I'll give Chip credit again. He was sitting in with Harge yesterday, and he's done a piece on Horns 24/7 about Banks. But this is the stud left tackle. Right now, he would be the left tackle. Chip said he thinks he's going to be day one starter. A lot of people agree with that idea. So Kelvin Banks, now the story is that I believe it's Jordan Whittington told the story of a play went wrong, and it was Kelvin Banks that told him to move on. So Kelvin Banks immediately going to him, hey, we're moving on to the next play. Let's go. So that kind of leadership. But the other story from his high school days, and Chip went and talked to the coach, while he's in high school, he is, shock, the left tackle. And apparently the right tackle was not near as good a player, one of their worst players, in fact. Kelvin Banks went out of his way to eat lunch with the kid every day, coach him up all the time, and just was constantly on him to try to make that kid as good as he could be. And Chip asked the coach, wait a minute, are they like best friends or something? No. He was on the kid all the time. Not in a horrible way, but just trying to make it as good as he could be because he wanted to win games. So some early good leadership stories coming out of Kelvin Banks.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about Banks the player and then also Banks the human being too. Apparently he has a personality that's very Shaq-like in terms being deadpan, but him just being really affable and playful and having a good sense of humor about things too.
It's a great thing to hear, and it's really good to hear at a position that important. I love hearing. If I'm a Texas fan today, I want to hear a story like that. I want to hear that my left tackle is a badass leader.
I said it yesterday. As bad as things have been on the offensive line for the last decade plus now, we've lucked out with some really good left tackles who end up playing early, too. True freshman or redshirt freshman years, and it sounds like Banks is the next in line there. The difference between him and Connor Williams and Sam Cosmi is Banks has legitimate high first-round potential. If he develops properly over the next 3 years.
Some good stuff there. And again, congrats to Brett Beatty, the local product that hit a homer in his first at-bat with the Mets. That is so, so cool. The Flex guys were talking about that last night on Wednesday Night Flex. You can check that out at hornfm.com in the podcast section as well. High school football on the way next week. Keep it tuned right here. We'll let you know all the details. Coming up next, it's Where We At in Society. Dodge is trying to help folks ease into the eco-friendly world. Trey's going to tell you how they're trying to do it on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Beginning to look a lot like wood. Follow my every step. Take notes on how I crept. I was about to go in depth. This is the way I greet my season. Here's my ghetto rep. I kept, to say the least, no, it can't cease. So I begin to piece my two and two together. Got no snowy weather. Have to find something to do better. Bet I set some traps, so shut up that. Nonsense about some solid. I got sick crock if it ain't real, ain't right. I'm like, no matter what the season, forever.
That is good stuff. I think I got this one, Trey.
Go for it.
Outcast.
Correct.
There we go.
Yeah,
who's
this
rhyming right here?
What's that?
Who's this rhyming right here? Which one?
That's Andre.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I was listening to this song just the other day. This is the album that Jeff Ketchum got me into. This is Southern off the Southern Playalistic album. So I was listening to Players Ball the other day.
Say the rest.
What? Southern Playalistic Cadillac Funky Music?
Ooh!
Yeah.
He's got it.
In fact, the other day, Cam played that song on the show. I was singing along a little bit. It's
wow, good. Southern Playalistic?
Southern Playalistic. Cadillac, funky music. That's a great little, that's a great you know, record.
You get your black card back, because both of y'all kind of lost it today, because y'all both said some racist-ish that I let slide, but it's all good.
What did I say racist-ish?
Oh, no. We're going
to... When you mention BET Plus, and you haven't given me your subscription for obvious reasons... And then...
How is that racist-ish? You know I'm happy to do that.
Well, you should have done that a long time ago. Right when you got it, which you should be paying extra for also obvious reasons, right when you got it, you should have been like, well, I should either give this to Buck, Zay, Harge, or Rod, because those are the black men in my life, but especially Zay, because I know he'd really appreciate it.
You think there should be like a Caucasian bonus he has to pay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or us brothers and sisters get a little discount. Either way.
So anyway, I'm definitely not giving it to Bucky, because you want to talk about somebody coming up with racist stuff based on what he's watching on the Miss Pat show. That guy would figure out a way to go there. I'll give you my login stuff, though. Right,
now, what'd you get me on? Was it the Jacoby Brissett thing? Was that what it was?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I felt so bad.
That was.
I felt bad. I felt bad. He's a backup quarterback that I thought I could identify him by his face, but I look up at the screen and I see what's the owner's name?
Andrew Barry.
Haslam is the owner, and then Barry is the GM.
So I see Haslam standing there talking, and next to him is this athletic black guy in a cap, in a Browns cap. And I just looked up, and at first glance, with my 47-year-old eyes that seem to be going worse and worse every day, I look up and I go, oh, that must be Jacoby Brissett. And he's going to answer questions next, because it ties into Deshaun Watson. And you were like, no, that's the GM. Oh, man.
You know who else it wasn't, Chad? It was also not O.J. Simpson.
Stop it. Was it Idris Elba? Is that who that was? Oh, my God.
Not John Chaney.
Not John Chaney. By the way, I don't know this. If this gets not John Chaney.
This guy thinks all black people look the same, apparently.
I love that you just went to John. That's an extreme version of that discussion, going to John Chaney.
I'm trying to go as absurd as possible
good.
Here.
That was very good. Yeah, also.
He literally turned around after I said, no, that's the GM, and apologized. I'm sorry if that came across as racist, guys.
Because I knew. I could feel it. I was like, God, they think I'm the most racist.
That's terrible.
That is awful. I am so sorry for that. So I got a little
just
bit
all
of
a bunch of Deshaun Watsons to you, huh?
I got a little bit of it back, maybe, with the Outkast thing. I also, the other day, I heard I thought of you, Zay, because we were talking about older Jay-Z. I think it's this Blueprint era, the song Ola Ovito.
Yeah, that's Blueprint 1.
God, that's a good song.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that one.
Is it a new song?
No, no, it's off the Blueprint album, first Blueprint. Ola Ovito. That's a great one.
Yeah.
That was good stuff. Any song where Jay-Z is referencing people referencing him, it seems to work. He's done that a few times, and it always seems to work. It's just like when Jay-Z tells us how much of a badass he is based on people reacting to him, I always end up nodding along like, yeah.
I still don't.
You are a badass.
I still don't understand, because he was such a lyricist, and I don't get how he never wrote on paper. He would just memorize it in his mind. Yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, you should hear the stories about people talking about them being in the studio with him. He would, like, go off in the corner kind of by himself and, like, in his mind, people are like, what are you doing? You need a pad and pen. He's like, oh, leave me alone.
And then
all right, I'm ready. And then go in the booth and just murder stuff.
Oh, that's
nuts.
Incredible.
He goes Rain Man in the studio.
Did not realize that.
Wapner at 4 o'clock, you know, counting cards or counting lyrics in his head.
Yeah, I think Biggie did the same thing.
Wow.
Those Brooklyn guys, different.
I'm going to hear all those songs differently now. I'm mad already was impressed, but now I'm extra impressed. All right, so more good music coming from Zay. We'll see where he goes from Outkast a little later on. We'll get back into these football discussions. Deshaun Watson, Big Ten, college football playoff. But right now, it's where we at in society. If you're a car lover, get ready for this one.
Where are we at in society today?
Okay, Chad, so we go to the world of cars for today's story, specifically the Dodge Company.
All right.
So Dodge, like a lot of other car companies, are getting on board with having more of their cars either hybrid or fully electric.
Okay.
And this includes cars that Dodge has made for a while now that have a reputation of being louder and faster, which of course has required more comprehensive things with the gas-guzzling nature of the car, if you will.
So they're even greening up the muscle cars that they're known for.
So they're greening up the muscle cars. They're actually planning on coming out with electric versions of some of its classic big and powerful V8 engines, but the electric version of that. Well, here's the issue with that, that one of the appeals for muscle cars is what? Not just the aesthetic, the look of the car, but also how that car sounds.
Yeah.
Even when it's idling, but especially when you punch it and you start to pick up speed, whether you're picking up speed at a moderate pace or a fast pace, there are specific sounds that the best muscle cars make, right?
Yeah, and if you're a car freak, you can hear it. You could close your eyes. They'll tell you.
I would argue one of the silver linings, because there are many silver linings, one of the benefits of an electric car is the fact that a lot of that noise pollution goes down. But that's an issue for those who love muscle cars, who still want the muscly feel to the car, even if it is operating on electricity and not gasoline anymore. Well, Dodge thinks it's come up with a solution. It is deciding to ease fans into the new era of electric muscle cars by mimicking certain muscle car sensations, including shifting gears, so the car feels like it's shifting gears.
Okay, they give you a little jerk there, okay.
And mimicking a loud exhaust, because with the electric car, you don't need a big exhaust anymore, because you're not having to release the fumes out of the back of the car from the engine.
Now, could I choose to have it or not have it? Could I do like an Alexa thing and say, Charger, give me full sound, or Charger, mute? Could I have that choice?
I hope that they are giving you that option, because I'm going to be completely honest. The guy driving around with the double muffler or the super loud muffler, I get it. I get what you're doing there, but you also come across like a complete D-bag. Mm. It is explainable, though, because you are driving a car that requires that much more energy expenditure. If you are literally doing that, even though you have the option to not make that obnoxious noise anymore, you suck as a human being.
So the reason they should...
Because it's complete noise pollution at that point.
The reason they should have the option is if somebody's rolling around in your neighborhood, or if they're trying to sneak out of the house and not have mom and dad here, you're able to mute it, and then when you get to where you're going and you want to impress people, then you can crank the volume back up. As long as you have a choice of doing it or having it or not having it, I understand.
No, just don't fake the sound. We don't need the fake sound anymore. The sound is not necessary.
I don't know.
How about be the cool guy who's got the muscly car that is not causing everybody to turn and say, hey, look at that douchebag in the Dodge Charger.
I don't know, man. You've already laid it out here. I think part of that vibe of the American muscle, if you can get the American muscle feel and sound but not do what they've done to the environment, isn't that the best version of it? And you can just be the old man on your porch and let them drive their Dodge Charger or Challenger or whatever you're talking about.
So their concept muscle car is called the Dodge Charger Daytona SRT.
There we go.
It resembles a model that will go on sale in 2024, according to executives. It's going to join a new small SUV called the Hornet that will be available as a plug-in hybrid and is set to go on sale later this year.
The Hornet.
Yeah. So the Charger Daytona has exhaust pipes that make noise and a transmission that shifts gears. None of that necessary with an electric car. But Dodge assumes its target customer isn't looking for what's strictly needed. They're not looking for practicality. They're looking to make sure that everybody around them knows that they are driving a Dodge Charger Daytona.
All right, now I want more choices. Can I make it to where my Dodge plays either nothing, full sound power, or Jay-Z's Blueprint album? Can I have either of those? Can I just have it, instead of the exhaust when I take off, can I have it play Hola Ovito as I drive away?
Well, Teslas have gotten cute with this. Elon Musk has gotten cute with some of the features on the Tesla cars that are fully electric. Like, they'll do random sounds. They'll do, like, fart sounds. They'll do sounds from, like, Star Wars or something like that based on certain features.
All right, now we're talking. Now you're talking my language. If you can give me like a cool, if you give me the Millennium Falcon taken off or something, if I can choose that, maybe.
Okay, maybe instead of the classic exhaust sound, every time you speed up with the Dodge Charger Daytona, you just get DMX barking like a dog. Like, I'm sure those responsible for the DMX estate would be willing to work a deal out there.
How about a DMX bark everywhere it's supposed to shift? How about that?
Oh, man, I'm glad you said shift. I'm glad you included the F there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know what that meant.
Cars give me... That'd be good, right?
Maybe.
I like that idea.
You know, if we're going with fake sounds, we may as well try and make this as fun as possible.
But real quick, from the son of a Mustang owner that grew up riding around in a 66 Mustang, all you Dodge folks, just please make the body style look like a Charger. Don't go all the way to where the Mustang folks went with the back of that car, because I'm confused by it.
Yeah, the version that I'm seeing right now, it does look pretty cool. But Good. Here's the other interesting thing. Like, you assume that the sound is going to come from like some sort of speaker within the fake muffler. But I guess it comes from, because that's how most electric cars do it, to make it to give it a little bit of a sound.
Okay.
But instead, the Dodge Charger Daytona is going to use air pulses forced through pipes with baffles and chambers inside. Like, they are really trying to do a lot to make this as authentic as possible while it's still completely unnecessary.
I think you just lost the hardcore Dodge folks with the words baffles and chambers.
Right.
I think that lost them right there. All right, there's Where We At in Society. We do it every day about 1:45. Trey always finds something crazy for us to talk about. Up next, it's always crazy in the world of college football. The latest from the Big Ten and all their money coming up. And the CFP committee gets together. No, not that one. Another one that might be more important. And Deshaun Watson gets his ultimate punishment, and it's magical to consider what game he comes back for. Yep, it's the Texans. We'll talk about the details coming up on The Horn.